Thanks for joining us today in advance. We're glad to have you every day as we talk about different subjects and different places. And I'm going to ask Campbell, who's with us today. Campbell, have you ever been to Mongolia?
I have not, but it does sound like a very, very interesting place.
Have you ever met any Mongolians?
I have met someone from Mongolia, and he's in the studio right now, right?
Yeah, but there's real Mongolians, actually.
Real Mongolians. Yeah, I have never met a real Mongolian.
There are some, you know, all over Asia. Taiwan has some Mongolians,
Interesting.
Too. And they're all over, just like Chinese people. Not many, but
right.
There's some.
Mm-hmm.
But there is someone here who has been there and lived there a few years, and we have him in class today. Let's welcome Ben.
Yay. Hi, everyone. Nice.
Hey, Ben, you don't look very Mongolian.
No, I'm not. I'm actually originally from Washington, D.C. in America.
Hmm.
But I lived for 3.5 years in Mongolia.
And your father is working there helping orphanages
That's
and
right.
things like that.
Right? Yeah, my mom is a special education teacher, so we help out in orphanages in the areas around Mongolia.
Well, it's a rare treat for us to have someone that's lived in Mongolia, isn't
it? That's true, yes.
And so I'm glad you could join us today.
I'm so happy to be here.
And all of us now open up your magazine to page 22 as we talk about rustic Mongolia.
Mm.
What else does it say about it?
Well, it's a relatively undiscovered gem for lovers of nature and ancient cultures.
Would you agree with that, Ben?
That's right. It is an ancient culture. Mongolian culture goes back thousands of years.
Well, Chinese culture does, too.
That's right. They were side by side for many years.
Ancient cultures, right?
Right. I think it's great that they were able to preserve a lot of that original culture, because now with modernization and a lot of cities popping up, a lot of that old culture is fading. So
That's true.
That you can still see some of that ancient culture is great.
If you want to see it, then you have to go to countries that still have some of it, and Mongolia is one. So as we read about this, the word rustic just means kind of more countryish, doesn't
mm-hmm.
it?
That's right. More countryside.
Countryside. And we're going to find out that it's not very, relatively means not very much discovered. And it says it's a gem, which means there's a lot of things. Doesn't mean it's really jewelry, but a gem means something very precious and wonderful, doesn't it?
That's right. Yeah, something very special that you want to keep.
Mm-hmm. And lovers of nature, of course, like to go there. And people who study ancient culture. But all of us are going to go there by visiting it today in our lesson, right?
Yes.
And we're going to start out today on page 22 by reading about the experience of someone who did visit there and gave us an account. So are you all ready?
I'm ready.
I'm ready.
Let's begin on our rustic experience.
Rustic Mongolia, a relatively undiscovered gem for lovers of nature and ancient cultures. A few weeks ago, I was bouncing down a bumpy Mongolian highway, seated in a Russian-made UAZ van with my wife and two friends. Our driver was a larger-than-life character named Oyunbatar, or Ogi. He wore a beret, and as he gripped the steering wheel, dodging potholes, he'd occasionally bark out streams of mystifying Mongolian. Suddenly, without warning, Ogi veered off the highway, hit the gas, and accelerated across the scrubby landscape and up a hillside. Within minutes, he had brought us to a 360-degree view of the steppes, with flocks of animals grazing in the distance, next to groups of white yurts, or gurs, as they are called here. This is what travel is like in Mongolia. Huge distances, broad vistas, big skies, bright stars.
Well, that's a very picturesque discussion to start with here. Let's talk about some of the words here. When you're bouncing along on a bumpy highway, it sounds to me like it's not a paved highway.
No, it probably has lots of bumpy things like rocks or other things
gravel.
In the road that you would bump over.
Right. Now, this is true in a lot of countries that are not developed in their wilderness areas. They don't all have very good highways, you know, it's because it's difficult to do, actually. And it's not surprising.
Right.
But he was riding in a special kind of a car here.
Yeah, that's right. He said he was riding in a Russian-made UAZ, which is actually a very famous Russian brand car. And this picture right here is pretty interesting. They actually call this van a bread loaf.
Well, and it kind of looks like that. We call that in Chinese, we have minbaozi.
Yeah.
We call vans that, don't we, in Chinese?
Yes, right. So it looks like a bread loaf, and so that hence the name.
That's right, yeah.
Very creative.
It's interesting that he took his wife, though, and his two friends there. So, you know, it was nice that he took her with him, and not just a rugged trip by himself. What do you think?
Oh, yeah. Family. It's great. Bring your family to Mongolia.
Yeah? Well, you think it's interesting up there, hmm?
Oh, yes, absolutely. It's a great time to be with your loved ones and spend some time with them while being in the vast nature of Mongolia. It's a beautiful place.
Right.
It doesn't sound like the place that most people have on their list of places to go, do you think?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think, again, it's definitely more for the nature lovers and the lovers of ancient cultures. It's not as developed as, you know, maybe some major metropolises, but it does have its charms.
Right. It's not like Paris, for instance.
Right, exactly.
But, you know, a lot of people even like to go in China across the old Silk Road and
yes. Go
across the places where people used to go on camels.
Right.
So it's kind of interesting, that part of the world.
Historical places.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, their driver was a great big guy. How did it describe him?
He was larger than life. How do you explain that, Doris?
Larger than life? I guess that he made himself well-noticed because he was large, but he also kind of, you know, he wasn't just a silent type.
The way I imagine it is his personality was so large. It was
and
so
open.
Obvious.
Hello, everybody.
Yeah. He's probably a loud guy.
Yeah.
Like me.
And what was his name? Do you know that?
Oyan Batar, or Ogi for short. I like Ogi.
I like Ogi.
That's a lot shorter.
That's easier to say, for sure.
Yeah, that's right. Well, and look at the kind of clothes he wore. A lot of people wear berets, don't they?
Yeah, beret is a type of hat that people wear, and it's kind of...
I thought that was European kind of.
Yeah, like French, European. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Kind of a cap,
isn't
it?
That's right, yes.
Yeah. And as he gripped the steering wheel, of course you have to hang on tight to the steering wheel because the road isn't steady, so you have to hang on tight. And it takes a big guy to do that, maybe,
right.
Yeah.
And you've got the potholes that he's trying to dodge, so I can imagine them swerving around in the car. You know, the potholes are big holes in the ground, you know.
Right.
Maybe the pavement is cracked.
Right. And maybe not deep, but there's just holes, and as you go along, it doesn't make a very smooth ride, you know. And then sometimes he would call out or bark out very loudly, just say all kinds of things like, you know, maybe, look out ahead. But nobody knew what it was
because
it was in Mongolian, which is mystifying. If you don't know the language in any country, it's mystifying. What does that mean?
When something's mystifying, it's confusing or something that's hard to explain.
Can you say anything in Mongolian to us, Ben?
I can. In fact, I think it's interesting they use the word bark because when I first heard Mongolian, it kind of sounded like a bark. It was very harsh, like a drum. So, Berste is goodbye, and Sambaino is hello, and Mach is meat.
Now that's more barking, that last one.
Mach.
What does that mean?
It means meat. It's a very important word
like
in the Mongolian.
I like Mach.
Mach.
Mongolian barbecue.
Mach.
That's
right.
I was going to say, that's kind of my only experience.
Mongolian barbecue, right. Like the meat, that's right. Yeah. So they use kind of a guttural sound, right?
Yes, and a lot of rolling of the tongue.
Uh-huh. Mm.
So maybe it would be Uyan Batar. Like
Uyan Batar.
Yeah. Put a roll at the end.
Bye. But all of a sudden, you know, they're driving along this road, and then he turns off. He veered off the regular road they're on to this scrubby landscape with probably little bits of grass and shrubs there.
Mm-hmm.
And starts going up a hillside.
That's right.
Wow, you wonder what happened to the driver.
Right, and it says he hit the gas, which means that he stepped down on the gas pedal, made the car move faster, and accelerated across the scrubby landscape.
And went up a little kind of a hill, didn't he? So you could see, he knows what he's doing.
Yes.
You know,
you say,
hey, what's this guy doing?
Right.
You know what he's doing. What was he doing?
He was bringing them to a 360-degree view of the steps.
Okay.
It must have been beautiful.
Well, now, what are they like, anyway?
The steps are very flat plains, and they don't have trees, but they have a lot of grass. So some of us may remember the Mongolian grasslands. That's a very famous part of Mongolia. So it could have been that they were looking out upon the plains, the vast plains of Mongolia, mm-hmm. the grasslands.
Right. Well, now, you know, they have these places in Africa where they, all of a sudden there's all these animals. Mm-hmm. Do they call those steppes too or not? I never heard him say that in
I
Africa.
Think they're this.
They don't call them the same.
Savannas thing. Or the plains?
Yeah, yeah, they call them something else, yeah. I think, yeah. But that's what they call them up there. So there's great big areas, and we see some pictures of them here. And the flocks, all the animals, they're grazing in the distance. And there, you look down there, not only all these animals like you see on this picture here. I hope you have your magazine. But you see these white yurts. Now, that's what they call them in northwest China. I've stayed in a yurt before. Mm-hmm. You've ever stayed in a yurt?
I have, yeah.
Yeah. And they're sort of interesting, you know.
Yeah, they're round.
They're round, and some of them are more, well, some of them have beautiful rugs and things inside. Some mm-hmm. are just dirty, kind of. They're different, aren't they?
Very different. They're very portable. They're very mobile.
You pick them up and they mate,
How do they stay warm? I mean, because it gets cold up there, right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, they have animal skin hides on the outside, which mm-hmm. is very
of the yurts, right?
Helpful. And mm-hmm. also, they have a hole at the top where they can start a fire, and the smoke will just go right up.
Kind of like a chimney.
Yeah, mm-hmm. like a chimney.
Okay.
Yeah, they stay pretty warm up there.
Okay. Well, they call them gears, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
they call them yurts.
Yurts, is that a what language is that?
Well, actually, I think it was Russian, but they call them yurts, and the Cossack people call them yurts, mm-hmm. too, in China, mm-hmm. too.
Yeah, and gurs means home in Mongolian.
Yeah, and I think that's the same way. It's kind of a old Turkish word. It says gir is Mongolian for home. The word yurt comes from the old Turkish for dwelling place, mm-hmm. Turkish word. So that's pretty interesting. So Mongolia, then, it's in the heart of central China between Russia and China, and it's a huge country. We're going to read more about it. And there's some very interesting things up there, but not very many people, but lots of animals, right?
Uh-huh.
So that's what travel is like in Mongolia. Huge distances. What else?
Broad vistas.
Right.
Yeah.
Big skies.
And bright stars.
Now, you know, if you go to the United States and you go to Montana, they call it the land of the big skies. That's because they don't have a lot of buildings or anything, and you can see the stars and the skies,
right.
And so they call it the land of the big skies.
Right. When you're in a city, you see a lot of skyscrapers, and that kind of blocks your view of the skies. But when you don't have a lot of tall buildings, the sky just looks huge. Yeah. And the word vista is just a big view, so we have a broad vista, broad view.
Yeah. So it's kind of different then,
this,
right?
This really reminds me of an American song about the plains. Home, home on the range.
But we call it the range, where the deer...
Where the deer and the antelope
that's
play.
Right.
Man.
Do you know any Mongolian songs?
I do. There's one that's very famous. It's talking about the horses galloping, and it has the sound of the horses galloping in the song.
Really?
Togada, togada, togada. Or sigida, sigida, sigida.
Clickety, clickety, clickety.
Yeah, clickety, clicks. Togada, 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 indeo. So the song is very interesting.
Oh, good. That's good. Well, you know, if you want to go up there, you can hear some of those songs. But on the next page, they talk about this on the move, because this is one thing about yurts. Whether they're in China or northwest China, where the Cossacks and the Uyghurs and everybody use them too, they're all over Mongolia. And they are on the move. So let's read the next part.
On the move. For a week, we slept in gurs, hiked mountains, rode horses, swam in lakes, soaked in hot springs. Along the way, we met several Mongolian families, including traditional herders who seasonally move their gurs and animals to greener pastures. Mongolia is vast, but home to a mere 3 million people. Half of them live in Ulaanbaatar, the capital. Most of the rest are spread out on the grasslands, making a traditional living herding and breeding livestock. Yet even in the outback, signs of modernization are everywhere. We stopped at a Gur camp, perched on a plateau and run by an elegant woman named Yandag. Inside her Gur, Yandag was making a batch of Urum, the Mongolian name for clotted cream or white butter. She soon stepped outside to track her livestock with the aid of some high-quality binoculars. Outside her Gur stood solar panels and a satellite dish for watching television.
Well, there's a lot of contrast here, to be out in the open and all of this kind of nature stuff and then satellite and television. Wow, it's kind of changing up there in Mongolia, isn't it?
That's right. Mongolia has been named the most developing country for, they say, in the next couple of years, they should develop the fastest of any country in the world.
That's kind of hard to think about. Hard to believe.
Yeah. Because, I think it's, this interesting juxtaposition of the old and the new
right.
And then all the things blending together.
But that's true in a lot of countries, like even in Africa, where people are using cell phones and
right.
They're way out in the desert someplace.
That's right.
Well, the population of Mongolia, of course, is not very much. It's just about only 2.4 million.
Yep.
That's not very many people. I mean, some big cities have a couple million.
For sure.
Yeah, like Taipei, for instance. Campbell, how many people are in Taipei?
Well,
that's only 5 million.
Yeah, we have 5 million. Yeah, all of Taiwan, there's 23.46
million.
But
Shanghai has, 28 million or something?
Oh, my goodness.
Right.
But even smaller areas. I mean, I think Seattle has 3 or 4 million now, didn't
Right, and that's a city.
We're
talking about a country.
That's a whole country, right?
Yeah.
But anyway, when this person was traveling there, they said they slept in these yurts. Where else are you going to sleep unless you want to sleep outside with the sheep? There's no place else.
Right.
And you've slept in one. I've slept in one, right?
Yeah. Sleeping in yurts is fun. I really enjoyed
bed's
sleeping.
Bed's kind of hard, though, usually.
Yes. Not very comfortable.
Like boards, like more. It's just, yeah.
Yeah, bring a lot of blankets with you. Maybe
you
a sleeping bag.
You can't bring all that stuff when you travel, you know.
Right.
But then you slept in these yurts, and then you hike mountains and you ride horses and you swim in the lakes. I thought it'd be cold up there swimming in those lakes, don't you think?
Well, it depends on when they went.
I know, but it's kind of northern. But they soaked in the hot springs. That sounds nice. So they have hot springs there too, don't they?
Yeah, I think it's interesting to see that this is a really old lifestyle. This is something that they've been doing for years, and us living in the city, it's interesting to see these people with such a rustic lifestyle. And
like in Africa, it's the same thing when people travel and see them. Yeah,
and they probably don't think that this is rustic. They think this is normal.
Yeah, this is their way of life.
Well, they met these Mongolian families, and we see some photos here of them. And the traditional herders that take care of the sheep and the horses and everything, and they seasonally move. Now, why do they have to move all the time?
Well, because they have these, they have their herds, their sheep, and they need to move them to different pastures where they can eat.
So that makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, if you eat all the grass and there's no grass left to eat, you've got to move to where the greener pastures are.
Well, you know, that's true with shepherds in any country, whether they're down there in the southern places in Europe or in the United States. The cowboys would take the animals to the place where there's green grass.
Mm-hmm.
But you didn't move your house. But in this case, they move their house and go where they are. That's what's different. They move their yurt or their gear.
Right. Yeah.
And so they're made in a way they can be taken down and put up and put on the back of donkeys and taken to another place and settle there for the summer.
Right.
They just move their whole house.
Must be a simpler way of life, because I think about moving my house, that would be quite the feat.
Well, I think in some countries, you know, the people have their house where it used to be, but they have a little shed or something they sleep in.
Right.
If they're trying to watch the sheep and in the mountains and the Alps or something like that, you know. But they do, they move them. So they actually move around. What do we call people that move around quite a bit?
They are
nomads.
Nomads.
So they move them, their gears and their animals, they all go together to greener pastures. So they have to be able to take the things down and put them up again. But here it says They have about 3 million, so I don't know if they have 2.4, 3 million. Probably changes, I'm not sure.
Right. But still,
anyway,
not a lot
not
of people for that large of a place.
And only half of them live in Ulaanbaatar, which is the capital.
Now, so. you were there in Ulaanbaatar, weren't you?
No, I wasn't.
Oh,
but
no.
I was near Ulaanbaatar.
You were near that, okay. So that's where most of the people live. So, you know, there aren't that very many other people spread out in the grasslands. So how do these people make a living then?
Well, they make a traditional living herding and breeding livestock.
Right. So even though they're in what we call the outback, we have the outback every place, America, the outback in Australia, mm-hmm. they even have an outback steakhouse.
That's right.
But outback means not in the big cities.
Mm-hmm.
There's signs of modernization everywhere. And you mentioned then that they are making a lot of progress, aren't they?
That's right, yeah. In the outback, they have things like solar panels or high-quality binoculars. And they're mm-hmm. using, nowadays, more motorcycles instead of horses.
Really?
So out in the outback, you might
see...
And
they have to have gasoline and things like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I read, too, that I looked up some information about it, and it said that the Mongolian children and the young people are really... very well educated. You would think they wouldn't be out there.
Right.
But it says the overall literacy for the whole country is 97%.
Wow.
That's high.
Is that counting the infants, too? That's a lot.
Well, literacy. 500,000 children are taught at 600 schools, and about 100,000 students go to university and college.
Wow.
So that's interesting.
That's really interesting.
Because I'm not even sure how it is in America and other countries now.
Right,
you know?
Yeah. And I'm sure that contributes to the modernization and also, as Ben was saying, the,
well, that's true,
the
because,
fast development.
Yeah. The large proportion of the Mongolians are under the age of 30. 60%.
Wow.
So most of them are younger. Maybe they don't live very long in that lifestyle. I don't know. But
who knows?
Anyway, the younger people are trying to bring more... you know, modernization in music and media and films
mm-hmm.
and so forth.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it's changing a lot up there. Did you feel like you could feel a little bit of the change when you were there?
Oh, absolutely. I thought the culture was changing and it was accepting the European and the American influence.
And Japanese and everything, yeah.
Yeah, everywhere. Mm-hmm. The food and the taste buds and the education and everything was changing very quickly.
Mm-hmm. Right. So when they were going around, they stopped at one of these gear camps and on this plateau, which is a flat top of a hill, and it was run by what they called an elegant woman. Now, I think of elegant women as people who live in cities and dress mm-hmm. beautifully, mm-hmm. but this is called an elegant woman here, Yanag, and there's a picture of her. And she was part of a herder family, right? And what is she doing in the picture?
Well, she's looking at her herds.
What does it say? Read the caption.
Well, she was making some clotted cream, or as we said in our article, the urine, mm-hmm. and it's kind of
she's
a
sitting
butter.
Right next to that, and she
right.
looks very elegant in the way she's dressed, and a headdress on her, and a long gown, and she's part of a herder family where they herd cattle,
mm-hmm.
and she's sitting there very eloquently trying to serve them, and she's mating a batch of urine. And it's clotted cream or white bread. I wonder what it's made out of. Because, you know, they have a lot of animals called yaks
uh-huh.
in northwest China, too.
Uh-huh.
And they make yak butter
uh-huh.
and yak milk. And I really don't like it. It's like goat's milk. It's a little bit strong. But I guess you get used to it. Did you ever eat it?
No, I didn't. I've had camel.
You've had camel?
But I have not had yak butter.
Hmm.
Well, you have to take that next time you go back. But what kind of things did you eat up there? Did you have milk and things?
Oh, yeah. We had lots of milk, cow's milk, and we had lots of milk tea. Their milk tea is also a different type of milk tea than the kind in Taipei. It's very
really?
Salty.
Mm-hmm.
And you add some millet and you add some cheese into the milk tea.
Interesting.
You serve it with
it
a ladle.
Sounds like breakfast cereal.
I know.
Sounds like breakfast cereal.
That's
right.
And the meat and the potatoes and the breads.
Pretty good, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yes, very good.
Well, anyway, she made this clotted cream or white butter, and then, you know, she was serving them, taking care of them. Then she stepped outside to see how her livestock was getting along. Like, how could she tell where her livestock were?
Well, she used high-quality binoculars, which,
yeah.
again, was that idea of the modern mixed with the old.
Wow. And so there she stood outside. She'd just been mixing all this Mongolian food. And she stood outside her solid solar panels. Imagine having solar panels there.
Right.
Now, would that bring heat too or not?
Bring heat, bring electricity.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Out in the open, so much sun, you can get a lot of energy.
So right. She had solar panels. And she had a satellite dish.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah.
That means you can watch TV.
That's amazing.
Right. I actually read that in 1990s, the first a Mongolian television station started, and a lot of the people liked to watch it, like the NBA playoffs, they watched that, and the elections and stuff.
So they, 1990s, yeah.
Yeah, well, but just recently, though, in the last 20, 25 years.
Yeah, so these are the signs of modernization.
Well, we'll talk more about it tomorrow, so we'll find out more about this faraway place, but it's getting to be more modern, and thanks for being with us today, and thank you, Ben, for joining us, and we'll see you all tomorrow. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.